The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing in involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's the first Sunday of February, school vacation week. Hope you got the kids home and hope you have lots of plans ahead for the next few days with a little bit more noise at home. Probably not as relaxing as what you're used to. Perhaps if you're staying at home with the kids, it'll be a bit of an adventure. Hey, I'm in for a bit of an adventure. I showed up here to the studio this morning and was handed this magnificent, magnificent decal that I can't wait to put up in my office. And perhaps if you swing by the Palatial Studios here at North Shore 104.9 on Enon Street, you can receive one of these decals as well. It features a picture of Muggs, Kevin Muggs McGonagall, Catherine Brown, and Dana Hersey all together. You don't see them all, together all that often. You generally just hear them on the radio, but now you get to see what those faces look like, along with the voices that you hear on the radio, and it comes with a sticker. A sticker. You can use that, I mean, on a lot of different things. Where might you want to stick Dana's face? Yeah, totally up to you. So you'll have your choice if you swing by here to the studio anytime during regular business hours. I'm sure they can slide you one. Maybe they'll even give you two, and they're free. So swing by and get your special sticker. This is not a bumper sticker, folks. This is like a real live sticker that you can bring to your office, put it on your books, hang it in your bedroom. You can stick it on the mirror as you're getting dressed in the morning, and you can look at Dana and Muggs as they're on the radio and do whatever you want with it. So that was my surprise that I got here this morning. Hope you're all finally recovered from the Patriots' victory in the Super Bowl. That was quite the weekend that we had. It's been a couple weeks now since that's happened, and pitchers and catchers have finally reported down to Fort Myers, and it's time for baseball. That's pretty exciting, and we're also in the midst of heading into All-Star Weekend. Isaiah Thomas makes the All-Star team, so we've got a lot of great things going on here. The Bruins, well, they're fumbling and dumbling along and doing what they have to do, but does anybody really watch the Bruins anyways? Poor Cam Neely, if he's listening, or Ray Bork, who lives up here on the North Shore. Sorry, guys, but I'm not a big Bruins fan. I probably would be a bigger Bruins fan if I knew how to ice skate. So I'm not a big ice skating guy, so that's probably why. So no offense to you guys, I've just never really gotten into it. But yeah, Patriots are done, but looking forward to a great season again next year. Red Sox are starting up, and the Celtics are in the thick of things. But we are here in the thick of things because, man, who would have expected that the market to be where it is today? Are you kidding me? You know, after Donald Trump won this election in November, I don't know if you remember, if you followed some of this stuff on the news, if you're following that night, the markets were just dive bombing as soon as people learned that Hillary Clinton wasn't going to win this thing. And it appeared that Donald Trump was going to pull this thing out. I mean, down almost 900 points as we were going to bed that night, and you wondered as you woke up, how would the morning finish up when the rest of the world woke up to find out that Donald Trump was the new president of the United States? And it turns out, as much as you worried, as much as you suffered, if you're an investor, you couldn't have asked for anything better. I mean, whether you like the guy or not, you're making money. You're making some serious money in a very quick pace. Now, that could be a scary thing, too. Do I think the market is going to continue to propel at the rate that it's going at? Absolutely not. I believe in April or May, we're in for a pullback in the nature of around 10 to 15%. But 10 to 15%, when you're sitting here around the 20,000 range on the Dow, 10% is a $2,000 pullback. Remember, 22,000 on 20,000, that's a $2,000 pullout. A 15% is a $3,000 pullback. That takes you back to 17,000 or October. October. Really? So put things into perspective. When the media starts to talk about the market crashing and the market stumbling and it's all Trump's fault that it fell apart, or it's all somebody else's fault, or we can blame China, or we can blame this or blame that. Folks, if the market is back to 17,000 or so, You're hanging out where you were last summer. And last summer, no one was complaining about where the stock market was. But we get greedy, don't we? We always take a look at our statement and we go, wow, my statement finally hit the $500,000 mark or the $200,000 mark or the $1 million mark, whatever it is. And you never forget the day you saw that number. And if it dips back behind that number, you go, well, I always remember when it was $1 million. That's where it should be now. Really? Really? I think a lot of people in 2007 and 2008, when they were getting paid six-figure incomes for not doing much for work, just because everybody was getting overpaid, there were being bonuses handed out, all of that. And then we ran into the credit crisis. And people lost their jobs and people realized that whether they were getting paid $140,000, that was really worth a $90,000 job. Folks, we have to sometimes reassess. We have to sometimes readjust. We have to be realistic with what is happening. Look, our typical, I'm just going to use an example here in the office. Our general accounts right now, if I look back 12 months, rolling 12 months, I'm showing people with returns of 15 and 20%. And you might think, wow, Mark, that's pretty good. Well, let me put things into perspective for you. Think about where we were. Think about where we were the mid part of February last year. Think about where we were the mid part of February last year. Now, how quickly we forget, don't we? 6 weeks into the year last year, we had concerns with China. We had concerns with interest rates. We had concerns with oil, and the market had dropped 12% in the first 6 weeks. So before the market could grow positive for the year, it had to pick up its 12%, right? So I just told you that, look, typical accounts, you know, your broker is going to reach out to you and people are going to tell you they're going to start showing you one-year returns that you're doing 15, 20, 25, 30%. And you go, oh my God, that's amazing. Did Trump do all that? No, Trump had nothing to do with all of that. Because remember, for the first 6 weeks following the mid part of February, from mid-February to the end of March, you had to make back the 12% that you lost at the beginning of the year. So if someone says you're up 20% on a rolling one-year basis, well, the first 12% was picked up 6 weeks into the beginning of that period of time. So what will be interesting to show you, is ask an advisor for a rolling 12-month report from April to April. And when you look April to April, you're going to see, oh, I guess I didn't make that much. You have to put things into perspective. Numbers lie. We can make numbers do amazing things. And my job here on this radio is to pull back the curtain, give you some financial advice in a language you can understand. Because just, you got to be realistic with performance here, folks. We so quickly forget how much we lost and how worried people were the first 6 weeks of 2016. The first 6 weeks of 2017 have been incredible. And just as quickly, we will forget about the first 6 weeks of it running up because it will pull back down. Folks, it does that. It's going to happen. It has to happen. Nothing goes up forever. But you know what? In the stock market, it doesn't stay down for long. And that's what you have to prepare yourself for. You have to gear yourself up and get ready that when the market does pull back, that you will remain rational during some very emotional times. I think we've seen how the media, how social media, I should say, has exacerbated everything. Everything. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about politics, whether you're talking about gas prices, whether you're talking about the way snow is being cleared, whether you talk about anything. Everybody has an opinion. And those opinions on Facebook, I mean, many people have said, you know what, I'm done with watching Facebook for a while because I just don't want to see these posts all the time. Everybody's making an opinion on another opinion. And later on in the show, I'm going to share with you some learnings that I've had over the past week or two during my visit down to Florida. I was down there and I've known this for a while because I do quite a bit of traveling and I meet with a lot of people both around the country and around the world. But folks, you're going to be a little humbled in the next segment. Because I'm going to give you a sense as to how much of a bubble we live in right here in Massachusetts. We've got some very strong opinions. And we basically believe if you don't believe in our opinions, if you don't understand our opinions, you're just frankly an idiot. Yet we will always say, oh, we don't judge anybody. We don't like to judge people, but we all judge. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a few examples of what I learned in the road ahead. In the road that I was on this past week, I was down in Florida visiting clients. But on top of that, we also want to start talk a little bit about taxes. Perhaps you're visiting your tax preparer, whether it's at H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt. Maybe you go to a CPA. Maybe you do it on your own through TurboTax. We'll talk about who should be doing stuff on their own and who might want to hire a professional. And when might some of those 1099s show up? My guess is, for some of you, you still haven't received your 1099. A little frustrating, isn't it? But don't you worry. We're going to talk more about money in a language you can understand. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
My grandfather started with a simple philosophy: have quality product and great service. Today at Gibley's, we have brands from all over the world. From unique Red Sox and Patriots gear to the finest suits out of Italy. Taking a vacation? You'll love our Tommy Bahama shop. And we now have Canada Goose for him and her. If you are hard to fit, Mario and Maria will tailor anything you buy at no extra cost. Gibley's in Danvers. Come in once and you'll be a customer for life.
If I had $1 million.
You know, there's more and more people today saying that they actually have $1 million. With the way the market's running, the way this economy has been, $1 million, though, doesn't buy what $1 million used to buy it. When the Bare Naked Ladies came out singing that song, I'm going to guess there were not nearly as many millionaires as there are today. You know, living here in Massachusetts, there are a lot of millionaires. Lots of them. Probably more millionaires here in Massachusetts than probably 48 of the other 50 states. Maybe New York has more millionaires. Maybe Connecticut. Maybe, I wouldn't say California, because there's a pretty wide dichotomy of people in, you know, there's some super wealthy people in California, but there's a lot of people in California too. Folks, having $1 million these days, for some was, you know, seems like insurmountable. But having $1 million net worth is not that hard to achieve, especially when you think about a net worth that includes everything, not just the money in your bank, not just your 401k plan. Go ahead, add in your house. Add in the value of your house, subtract out the mortgage, of course. You know, if you're 50 plus, if you're 60 plus, there's a large percentage of you, certainly in the zone, in the radius of where we're broadcasting from, who would say that they have $1 million net worth, though they've probably never looked at it that way. And that's one of the problems that I find with folks as they begin to prepare for their retirement, is that they don't quite understand what they have, what it's all worth, how to use the money. In fact, get this. Some teachers will tell me, and I wrote this in my book a few years ago. They'll tell me, well, Mark, you know, I'm a teacher. And my friends have $1 million in their 401k plan. All I have is this lousy $50,000 pension. Did you know that in order to create a $50,000 a year pension, you need to have about $1.4 million? Remember, that means that your municipality, your teacher's retirement department has to have about $1.4 million to be able to guarantee you a $50,000 pension for the rest of your life. So don't turn away. I mean, pensions aren't a bad thing. They're rare to get. But when you really put the present value of what would you need to have in dollars to get a $50,000 income, you might start to think twice. Think about this. Remember, you get your $50,000 guaranteed if you're a pensionaire from the state or from the teacher's retirement board or whatever it is. If someone else has $1 million and they say, well, I can turn that into $50,000 a year too. Because sure, you'll take 5% of $1 million is $50,000. But what happens if the stock market goes down for the next couple of years and now you're at $800,000? Okay, and you lose 20% and you want to take $50,000 from your $800,000. Now it's not 5% anymore, is it? It's a bigger percentage. And if you start doing that and your account isn't keeping up with what you're taking out of your account, you could run out of money. When you have a pension, can you run out of money? You certainly can't stop your pension from stopping. It's going to keep coming. So you got to put things into perspective, folks. And so what I'm trying to do is help you put some things into perspective from what I learned this past week down in Florida. Look, there's no question. Everybody knows that Massachusetts has been a blue state for as long as we can possibly remember. If you didn't know that, If you didn't know that, generally Massachusetts votes Democrat. Did you know that? So it didn't matter what your personal bias was as a citizen here of the Commonwealth. When you were voting for president, you could have voted for Donald Trump if you wanted to. You could have voted for Johnson. You could have voted for anybody. We all knew who was going to win this election, right? It wasn't even win the election here in Massachusetts. Wasn't even close. When you listen to the radio, when you listen to radio shows, I mean, there used to be an old station called WTKK that used to be on the airlines, which was clearly a more conservatively biased talk radio station. That's long gone. So most of the talk radio that you hear right now is very red-driven or liberal-driven. That's fine. But try traveling to a swing state. I did that this past week. And I was driving down to visit clients, many of our Massachusetts residents who have since now retired down to Florida. And I go to visit them a few times a year, probably visited 9 people while I was there over the past 3 days. So I land down in Fort Myers. I get into my rental car and I'm driving down in Naples. And my car is locked into a talk radio station. I don't know anything about this. It's what's on. You know, it's 10 o'clock. I'm just driving. So the first piece of news, just kind of like how Dana and Muggs do the news here in the morning. So the guy's reading some news and he offers up a commentary that says 48% of Americans support Donald Trump in his immigration efforts. The other 52% would likely support him if he could communicate what this immigration policy was all about. If he could communicate it better, there would probably be more people that jumped on the bandwagon. Now, I would bet you first of all, that statement would never get made here in Massachusetts because people would think the news reporter was absolutely insane to suggest that 48% of Americans support Donald Trump in the immigration efforts. I would bet the many people here that are listening to this show would say maybe it's 3 or 4%. I mean, because that's the... But what I'm telling you is that we live within our own bubble. When I was down in Florida this past week, I'm sitting at some restaurants. Didn't matter which restaurant I went to. Every table is talking politics. Some are talking immigration. Some are talking labor secretary. Some are talking secretary of state. Some are talking Supreme Court. They're all talking about something. And the polarizing opinions that surround you as you're having lunch and dinner, you begin to realize that you're in a totally different world than when you are sitting in Massachusetts. And I think that's a wake-up call, should be a wake-up call to each and every one of us. I think there were many people in Massachusetts that were floored that Donald Trump won this election. Frankly, I was very surprised. Not that I was a big fan of Hillary's, but yes, I was absolutely floored that he won this election. But I think we're not giving enough credit to the value of opinion, the value of perspective, the value of lifestyle and values, frankly, that exist outside of our own little sphere. I told you the story a few weeks ago, I think, and if I haven't told you it, I've told it to others, so I'll tell you the story. About a few weeks ago, you may know that I was in India, and I was actually flying into India on Inauguration Day. So as I was flying, actually over Iran, over Iraq, over Afghanistan, I'm watching the inauguration on my screen. CNN's reporting live as we're doing this thing, so I'm watching the inauguration. So I land in India about 2 o'clock in the morning. The next few days, you know, you get acclimated to jet lag and all that kind of stuff. I was speaking at a conference about 3 or 4 days later. And all I'm seeing on my Facebook post is America, we must be the laughing stock of America around the world. Everybody must be just absolutely howling about how insane it could be that Donald Trump could be president of the United States and how he could potentially destroy this world. Folks, he's not going to destroy the world. The world is not going to blow up into smithereens. Things will be different for sure. And I'm not saying I'm supporting Donald Trump. I'm not at all. I'm just saying, let's try to look at this thing from a balanced perspective here and look from both sides. So I'm starting to walk the streets of India. And what's amazing to me is the number of posters. They're big into posters down there. Posters and newspaper clippings that are stuck on the windows of stores and apartments of Donald Trump. And people shaking the hands of Donald Trump because he's built infrastructure down there. There's CEOs that are shaking hands, pictures of them, all over the place. Believe it or not, folks, I know as much it might be difficult to hear this message here in Massachusetts, There are actually people that support Donald Trump outside of this country. In India, they think it's fabulous. Now, I'm like shaking my head as to why. Why? But instead of telling them that they're stupid, that they don't know what the hell they're talking about, that he's this and he's that and he's that, let's talk about it. Let's open up our minds and say, tell me why you feel this way. Well, here's why the Indians feel this way. India is comprised of 1.3 billion people. That's four times the size of the number of Americans here in the United States. From a landmass standpoint, India is the size of the United States east of the Mississippi River. Take all of that land and form it into a triangle. 70% of the 1.3 billion people live in slums and shanties, living off of $3 to $5 a day. The 1%ers in India make more than $50,000 a year. There is an area in India called Dharavi, which is the largest slum in the world, 1 square mile with 1 million people living in that space. And they're happy. It's one of the safest places to be. No, you don't want to drink the water. You probably don't even want to eat the salad or the fruit. It's dirty, but they're happy. Commerce happens in a very crowded community. But get this. There's no such thing, never even heard of something called a minimum wage. There's no such thing as Social Security. There's no such thing as Medicaid. There's no Social Security. If you make under $50,000, you pay no tax. So how do you survive? How do you survive? Well, you work. If you work, you make money. If you don't work, you steal. Or you live off somebody else. Or you eat small amounts. But what was fascinating to me in India, what was fascinating is this, yeah, there are some people that will walk up to them, put their hands to their mouth, showing you that they're hungry. I learned from many, many people in India, nobody in India goes hungry. Living off of $3 to $5 a day, nobody goes hungry. You know why? Because they're a very religious country as well. Sikhism, which is one of the various religions that's out there, the Sikh temples have one of their values, one of their objectives is to feed the poor. They serve free meals 3 days a week to anybody who wants it. If you need food, you go to the temple, you will always be fed. So think about that. So I said, why do you feel so supportive of Trump? And they said, what drives us nuts? There's all the stories that we hear about refugees going to America for handouts. Yes, they go for freedom, but they also go for the opportunity to have free food, subsidized shelter, potential for of other benefits. Maybe if we work hard, maybe they can get into school programs or whatever it might be. We don't have any of that here in India. We encourage our children to work hard. And if you work hard, you will be rewarded. If you don't, you will become part of the chaos that exists in India. On top of that, they told us that they're furious when they hear of these families that go to India. Go to America, collecting $3 to $5. Used to be collecting $3 to $5 a day. Now getting a better wage than what they ever imagined. God, there's minimum wage, right? And then they take half of the money that they've collected because they need to live on very little, and they send it back to their country. Western Union does a huge business. Have you ever used a Western Union telegram? Have you ever done that before? No. But all of these refugees, all of the immigrants are experts at Western Union, and they're sending money back home. So your tax dollars, you might think you're paying for the refugees that are coming over. No, you're helping to keep their families alive back home in their countries. Now, everybody has an opinion. I'm just telling you, I'm not sharing with you my opinion. I'm sharing with you the perspective that the Indian people have, and they want that to stop. And they said, if Donald Trump thinks that the call centers, which are a huge deal, call centers are what, that's considered a great job, by the way. If you're in a call center in India, it's a great job, and you know what you're making? About $30,000 a year. That's a great job, $30,000 a year. And if Donald Trump said, you know, we're going to pay you guys less, it's going to be $22,000, they're like, thank you very much, no problem at all. Because most people, even the ones outside of the slums, if you're living a regular life, let's say you want to be a concierge at a hotel or you want to be a bellman at a hotel, you're roughly making $15 a day. That's it. $15 a day. There is no such thing as a minimum wage. The reason I bring this up is because of how limited, you know, we talk about how educated we are here in Massachusetts, that we have the greatest schools in the world, that we have some fabulous orators, that we have the education system's great, we have great universities, all of that stuff. But we become biased. We say we don't, but we are. We have to stop being biased. We also have to stop being biased when it comes to our money. You know, how many folks still say, I'm still buying American only. I'll only buy an American car. Do you still live that way? I'm not supporting those Japs. I'm not supporting anybody else. I'm just going to buy an American car. Folks, the world's changed. The world has changed. I mean, the government has adapted to a few things. I think it's great. I think it's fabulous that during President Obama's reign that now federally we accept same-sex marriages. I think that's a great move that they've decided to do. I just think that whatever they choose, that we are becoming progressive, yet there are generations behind us that are not. The generations in front of us, they will be more progressive. But I think we have pushed the envelope to the other side, or pushed the, if you will, the metronome note, or whatever you want to call that arrow, over to the other side. We're being so politically correct. You can't have a conversation. You can't share an opinion. If you share an opinion face to face with somebody that they don't agree with you, someone could turn around and just call you racist. And now all of a sudden someone throws out the word racist and it's all over. You got to be careful, folks. We have to be willing to accept other people's opinions. And you know what? When you're watching television and you're watching things about the industry, the stock market, the economy, folks, those are people's opinions. Those are not facts. Those are people's opinions. Did you know that economists, you might talk about whether it's Warren Buffett or Bob Dahl from Nuveen or whomever it is that gets up in front of CNBC, maybe it's Cramer. Do you know what their success rate is? Less than 50%. Yet we seem to listen to these guys and think that if they said it, it must be true. And so here's what happens. If you followed every single solitary piece of advice that they offered, yeah, maybe you'd have a 40 to 50% success rate. But you pick and choose. The ones that appeal to you, the ones that you don't agree with, you don't do. So you're reducing your likelihood of performing well. You have to make some informed decisions about your situation, not the way Cramer sees it, not the way Buffett sees it, not the way I see it. So if you come into my office and we talk about your financial situation, it's not what I think. It's what we collectively think is best for your personal situation, not what here's what the rest of the world is doing, or here's what people who make my kind of money do. It's what makes sense for you. Sometimes that's tough to do because you say, I don't have time for that. Oh, but think about how much time you'll take to figure out where to go on your next vacation. You'll spend way more time planning that, won't you? Or where to find the cheapest can of tuna fish. But when it comes time for planning for your retirement, it's too much work. Well, let's keep working on it together. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk more about a lot of different things. One of the things that we've shared in the past is this idea about not buying individual stocks. I want you to buy mutual funds. I want you to buy exchange-traded funds. We're going to talk about why you may want to stay away from buying individual stocks when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Are you facing critical decisions that could impact your retirement income? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial, and since 1968, we've been providing comprehensive financial planning and investment advice to individuals residing on the North Shore and throughout the Merrimack Valley. We can help you plan for the retirement of your dreams. Call me today at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
The blockbuster 2017 musical season has been announced for Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. And you won't want to miss a show.
76 Bravo and the Big Parade.
Join in the parade when the classic American musical The Music Man marches on stage to open the season in June. In July, you're invited to be our guest when we present the magical family production of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. The summer continues with one monster of a hit show.
It's alive!
Young Frankenstein, the hilarious Mel Brooks musical.
It's a Transylvania mania.
Then join us in the fall for a brand new production of the Tony Award-winning musical, Evita. The season will end with a dazzling production of 42nd Street, the Tap Dance Spectacular. Become a season subscriber and see all five shows from the best seats at the lowest prices. Book your tickets at nsmt.org and make a memory to last a lifetime.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody and host of Dollars and Cents. Do you like what you're hearing on today's show? Does our approach to financial planning make sense to you? If you answered yes, then I'd like to learn more about your financial goals and objectives. You see, our team at Friedman Financial can help you put your financial house in order and keep your focus on the big picture. Sure, we manage money for you, but if you're like most of our clients, you want someone who provides advice in all areas of your financial life too. Think of us as your rational sounding board for financial questions and direction. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial plan, we're here to help you with the strategies to get you there. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Lots and lots of money. That's what we're talking about today. Hope you're feeling good. I hope you're... If you've taken a look at your statement lately, you're likely to see that you've got lots more money as long as you stayed invested. Man, if we had quite the run-up over the past year, actually. Earlier in the show, I was talking about the fact that if you were to look at your portfolio performance on a one-year rolling basis, take a look at today, the value today, or the value at close on Friday, and what it was 12 months ago, and you calculate the return, don't be surprised if that number comes out around 15, 20, or even 30%. Yeah. It's possible. And the reason is, though, it's misleading. First of all, it's very misleading because we seem to forget that the first 6 weeks of 2016, the market was down between 10 and 12%. And then the 6 weeks that followed, we came out of it. So right now we are sitting at the absolute lowest point that the market was 12 months ago. So when you see your run-up, recognize that half of what you probably see in your run-up is due to the first 6 weeks of that one-year rolling period. Folks, you should shoot on a general portfolio if you're a 60-40, 60% in the stock market, 40% in the bond market. You know, you want to be shooting for 5 to 7 or 8% as an annualized return. So you know what that means? Is if over the last, well, the best example was actually this past week. I had someone come in and he saw that his portfolio, he had a more of a balanced portfolio. He had more like 40% in the stock market, 60% in bonds. And his portfolio on a rolling one-year basis was up 16%. But I said, all right, let me show you the difference here. Let's take a look at what your portfolio was over the last 2 years. Portfolio over the last 2 years has averaged 2%. Okay, so understand that there will be some great years that you'll see in your performance, but it all balances itself out. And when those years don't seem all that profitable and they don't seem to be doing all that well, do not bail. Because the years when things weren't going so well, if you've rebalanced properly and you've managed your account appropriately, things turn around. You just need to buy quality. You need to trust in management. You need to trust in a company's ability to know stocks better than you do. So my advice to you, and it was a story that appeared in MarketWatch the 10th of February. It said, you're only a fool if you buy stocks. And I've been saying that for years. Buying individual stocks is a fool's game. Why do you choose one stock over another? Oh, hey, I heard from my buddy down the street that, you know, defense stocks are going to do really well. Or, hey, did you hear about the new Tesla that they're coming out with? We got to invest in Tesla. And so someone says, all right, I'll invest in Tesla. And they say, well, you know, how much is it a share? It's selling for about $280 a share right now. $280 a share? I'm not buying Tesla. That's too expensive. Folks, the price of a stock should not be the reason why you choose to buy a stock or not. It should absolutely have no rationale as to why you buy it. Would you buy it? Do you think Google's a good company? Well, yeah, Google's a good company. You want to spend $800 a share for Google?
How about for Amazon? You want to pay $600 or $700? No. I want to find a really good stock that I can get in for about $1.75 a share. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of those. Those are going to be pretty safe bets for you. Because you'll just know exactly what's going on in the company. Come on. If you want to pick a stock, leave it to a guy or a woman that works for a mutual fund company and goes to visit Pepsi, goes to visit Disney, goes to visit General Motors or Ford or wherever you might, Caterpillar, it doesn't matter. And they walk the lines. They talk to management. They talk to analysts. They talk to employees. And then they make a decision as to whether we should buy not $1 million worth, 1 million shares of this company. Do you think that person that's buying 1 million shares is better informed than your 10 shares or 100 shares that you just bought in GE? Really? The person that's going to spend buy a million shares of GE, I think, knows a little bit more about the company, knows when to get in and when to get out, and has a strategy of when to get in and when to get out, rather than you who says, hey, I heard a good article, read a good article about GE in the paper. I think I'm going to invest in it. And so you invest 100 shares in GE. Really? To do what? You know, many people thought for years, hey, Verizon. A lot of people here work for Verizon. Great company. Good dividend. I love the dividend at Verizon. And now people are calling to complain that they want to sell their Verizon stock because, did you see what the market did this year? Verizon did nothing. It was down. I mean, that's the way you're going to make your investment decisions? Come on. It's got to be part of something that's a little bit more thoughtful, a bigger, better part of a plan. Remember, as you get older, our ability to make rational decisions when more and more balls are in the air become more difficult. I'm not going to say we get dumber as we get older. We don't. In fact, we get wiser as we get older. But wisdom is generally something that comes with thought, thinking it through, slowing it down a bit. We become, as we get older, the best advice we can offer to people is to slow down a little bit, to be more thoughtful. But when it comes to buying in the stock market, generally that's not one of those thoughtful decisions when you're buying an individual stock. You go, hey, I heard a buddy's buying this. I got to buy it now. Can I get in today? Can I get in today? What kind of price can you get me? That's not likely to happen as you get older. But wouldn't you like people to be thinking on your behalf to help you out with that? Folks, that's not what I do. I don't buy individual stocks. What I do is I play that middle person. I get you connected with some of the smartest portfolio managers in the world to have your money managed. And we do it by selecting investments that are at a very reasonable cost and that are designed to place your interests first. Folks, you've heard this term fiduciary lately. I mean, it's been thrown around a lot in the industry. The Department of Labor passed a law last year that insisted that all financial advisors must become fiduciaries this year. And actually, it was in a couple of years by the time the whole thing comes into play. And then there was this discussion that Donald Trump and his administration want to come in and dismember the whole thing. And I don't know whether that's true or not. And if he does, I think that's unfortunate. Because I think the role of an advisor as a fiduciary is critically important. The problem is, though, everybody has a different definition for what it means to be a fiduciary. See, my belief is that if you're going to be a fiduciary, you have an obligation to place the interests of your clients first. That's what fiduciary says right after, place the interests of my clients first. So if you were to walk into my office and say, Mark, I just inherited $500,000 and I'd like to invest it with you. What would I need to do to act in a fiduciary capacity for you? Should I just say, well, tell me a little bit about what you plan to do with the money? And you say, I don't know, I'm not planning on touching the money for 5, 10 years. Oh, so you must have a long-term time horizon. Let me build an investment portfolio that's a long-term time horizon portfolio. Folks, that is not a fiduciary. That means that I'm helping you build a suitable portfolio to your, you know, to what you want to do. A fiduciary says, I need to place the interest of my clients first. Wouldn't it make sense that before I invested your $500,000, I knew how any of your other money was invested? How could I place your interest first if I didn't know how your 401k was laid out? Whether you were expecting a pension, maybe you had money in the bank, maybe you have a life insurance policy, maybe an annuity, maybe you have a different investment portfolio, maybe there's money in the bank, maybe you have a mortgage on your house, maybe you have a mortgage, maybe you have a credit card debt, you owe student loans, you have a responsibility to the kids or the parents. Lots of questions, right? In order to place your interest first, we need to know answers to those questions. Unfortunately, many people in this business don't do that. They don't believe they have the time to do it. They say, look, I'm a new investor. I'm a new investment advisor. I'm a new broker. I have to hit my numbers. I have to get my applications. I got to get things signed. I got to get paid. Well, folks, maybe that's great for young kids or for younger adults. But when you're 60 plus, isn't it time to get serious about your money? Isn't it time to make sure that someone looks at this thing seriously through your lens, not through the lens that the company that they work for is telling them to use as a product to get you to buy? More and more people are now proffering up these manufactured portfolios. Yeah, we'll buy you our growth with income portfolio. We'll buy you our aggressive growth portfolio. And we'll charge you 1% to do that. My question to them would be, so tell me what I'm getting for my 1%. Because in reality, if you buy one of those prepackaged portfolios, the guy that just sold it to you does nothing after you hand him the check. He has no control over that portfolio, no say over the portfolio. It's just been handed over to a team of people who basically run that portfolio through a computer. You know, you've heard this discussion about these robo accounts, these robo advisors. You've heard of Betterment. You've heard of, I can't even think of some of the other names. It's terrible that I just named one. But there's a bunch of them that are out there. That's what those do. And they charge you, say, 0.35% to place your money in an investment account. And you set it and forget it. You want to say, well, maybe I'd like to up my percentage in large cap growth, or maybe I want to tweak this portfolio, or maybe I want to sell out of this because it's doing poorly. No, you can't do that. You cannot do that. So when you're working with your financial advisor, make sure that if they're building a portfolio for you, which they probably are, make sure that it's flexible enough so that you can both make changes. I love this other one when I hear from advisors that, you know, a client comes to them and say, you know, I've got this portfolio that I had, and I'll just pick a company, J.P. Morgan. I've had this company at J.P. Morgan. I have this account at J.P. Morgan, and it's a bunch of stocks, a bunch of mutual funds, but I also have this GE stock that my grandfather left to me, and I want to keep it. And so you'll move it to the advisor, and the advisor will say, well, that's great, but if you want to buy our portfolio, you can't own the GE stock. You got to sell it. And I'm like, really? That's ridiculous. What if there was a tax liability to sell that stock? The broker doesn't care because the broker wants to sell you their packaged model. You do not need a packaged model. Because if you're buying a packaged model and you're paying 1%, what is the value of the advisor? Think about that. With technology the way it is, that advisor goes out of business. What do you need that interim person for? What you need is an advisor who actually does this, provides advice. He actually uses that term. He actually provides advice. He puts that advice in writing. He talks to you about everything from your investment account, and he gives you plenty of flexibility in the investment account. If you say, look, hey, I heard about this marijuana stock that I want to buy, and I'd like to incorporate it in my portfolio. He goes, all right, let's talk about whether it makes sense to put it in the portfolio, and you add it. These prepackaged portfolios, you can't do that. You want to know about what tax liabilities you may incur. What should you do in December and November and December? Can you sell some losses in your portfolio to help your tax situation? Or when you retire, where's the best place to take money? How do you take money smart so you pay the least amount of tax and maximize the resources that you have? These are incredibly important conversations. And sometimes many folks don't even know the questions to ask. An advisor helps you do that. An advisor helps you do that because they understand. A financial advisor, certainly a certified financial planner, will help you do that because they have that fiduciary obligation to place your interests first. At Friedman Financial, we are fiduciaries. We place your interests first. We build a net worth, a comprehensive net worth of everything you own and showing everything you owe so that you can have a clear snapshot of where you stand every single day. Actually, it comes right to your iPad out to your computer, whatever you want. It's fully encrypted and all that. I don't know how the whole cybersecurity thing works, but I've been told it's pretty safe. Very safe. I shouldn't say pretty safe. Very safe. Never had a problem. We've never seen anybody have a problem. And how about this? The software system we own, owned by Fidelity. So if you feel good about Fidelity, Fidelity's on the hook if the software system blows up. But, you know, we're trying to give you a perspective of helping you understand where everything is and what it's all worth so that you can plot your progress. You can see, all right, let's say the market had a tough month. How did that impact your ability to achieve your long-term goal? Not what happened to the account. Maybe it dropped $20,000. Maybe it dropped $5,000. Maybe it dropped $200 in your account. And you go, oh, my God, if it lost that, how is that going to screw up my retirement down the road? You can see that. You can see the bigger pictures. If now's the time to get serious about your financial planning and you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation at my office, I'd love to meet with you. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you'd like to receive my free newsletter that comes out each and every Friday, 10:30 in the morning, it'll go right into your inbox. Just go to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Click on the button that says sign up for Mark's free newsletter and you will get it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We've been talking about all sorts of things today. We're kind of all over the map. You know, if you were sticking around, if you just joined us for like about a 10-minute part of this radio show and you click back in 10 minutes later, we're on totally different subjects. We're just changing it up. So, hey, here's what I'd recommend you do. If you want to listen to the show in its entirety, you know, you can download this show. North Shore 104.9 puts all of these things on podcasts. You can go right to the website, NorthShore1049.com. Go to the little drop-down menu that says podcasts, and you can listen to the show. You'll find Dollars and Cents there. If you want to listen to all of my shows, you can actually go to iTunes and search for Dollars and Cents. The best way to actually search for it, I've learned, is to go to Friedman Financial and Dollars and Cents. All of my shows for the past 5 years are all there. If you want to see those, that's easy enough to do. But North Shore 104.9 uploads those podcasts usually on Tuesday afternoon or so. So if you missed part of the show and you want to listen to the rest of this show, or the earlier part of the show, feel free to do so. Yeah, like I said, we've been all over the place. We've been talking about a little bit of politics, a little bit about the market, a little bit about stocks and investing. But I got something else I figured I'd talk to you about. Something happened this week at my office. A couple came in, and they're beginning to think about aging. And they're thinking about, what do we need to do? If someone were to die, if one of us were to die, what do we need to know? And it's something that we deal with on a regular basis. It's not something that you would think your financial advisor or financial planner would deal with on a regular basis. But frankly, where we've been in this business since 1968, we're actually pretty good experts at the death business, and especially the death business of people that live here on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley, because we know all of the connected pieces to what happens when someone dies. Unfortunately, we've had three deaths this week in my office. Three totally unrelated, well, usually not, that's good that they're unrelated. Three unrelated deaths in the office, and we average one a month. And so it was interesting that this couple came in, and they're in their 70s. They were saying, you know, if something were to happen to one or the other of us, can you help me walk through and understand what's going to happen? So It was easy enough to walk through their accounts. Look, here's the way it works through with accounts. If you have a beneficiary designation on your investment account, now let's say a beneficiary designation could be on your retirement account, your IRA, your 401k. You had to put a beneficiary on that when you signed up for that account. Now, if you haven't looked to see who that beneficiary is, you might want to change it, because if it's still your mom and you've been married for 30 years, you may want to change that up a bit. Or if you're on your third marriage and you're still listing your first wife, that could be a problem too, because they don't care. If you've been stupid enough not to fix it, they're still issuing the check to the first wife. They really, really are. So make sure you check that stuff. But as long as there's a beneficiary designation on your investments, you're going to avoid probate. You don't have to worry about what's in the will. That's right. The will's not the first thing we look at. The will comes into play to clean up all the junk, all the crap that was never, ever appointed to after someone died. So think about this. If you have retirement accounts, if you have insurance policies, if you have annuities, if you have a joint account, or if you have a transfer on death account, any of those accounts, all of those accounts will avoid what's called probate. Everybody talks about, oh, I want to avoid probate. I want to avoid probate. Great. There's a lot of attorneys that'll, a lot of advisors that'll send you free dinners so you can learn how to avoid probate. And chances are 90% of the time you've already avoided it. But they'll figure out a way to sell you an annuity or a trust or a life insurance policy or something. But that's a story for another day. So I want you to look. Look at everything you own. The joint account, the TOD account, transfer on death, the retirement accounts, the life insurance policies, the annuities. They've already been assigned to a beneficiary. Hopefully it's not the estate of you. If you named the estate, that's not really a beneficiary. That means it's going to probate. That estate doesn't count. So let's say all that stuff's gone. So you say, okay, well, what would be left? What might be left? Well, maybe, just maybe, you have an individual investment account that's just in your name. Or maybe you have a checkbook or a money market account or something at the bank that's just in your name. Maybe you own your house that's just in your name. Well, if you die and there's no beneficiary attached and there's no trust designation that's put into place, those are all subject to probate. So you could then look at your will and you see, oh, well, you wouldn't be looking at it. You'd be dead. So someone needs to know where your will is. That's a big one. Make sure someone knows where your estate planning documents are. Certainly the person who's going to be the executor of your estate. The executor has to then be appointed as executor, goes to a court, gets appointed, and now needs to do an inventory of all of the items that you own and owe. Probate comes from the Latin to prove. So what you have to do is you have to identify, create a spreadsheet, create a net worth statement that says, here is what the deceased owned outside of what was already distributed based on beneficiary designations. And so maybe there's $10,000 in a checking account. Maybe there's $80,000 in a brokerage account. And maybe there's a home that's worth $300,000. I'm just grabbing some numbers here. So what you now need to do is you have to post that sheet on the bulletin board at City Hall. And there's a notice that you've probably seen in the paper, though you've probably never read them before, unless, chances are, unless you're a carpenter or a painter or something like that, and you feel like the client didn't pay you the full amount for the work that you were doing, you can file a claim against that person's estate and say, well, you know, they still owe me $2,500. So you go to file the claim, and the judge will make a determination whether $2,500 needs to come out of that probated estate to pay off the debts that are outstanding. And if they are, they get paid out. After that, the executor then goes to the will and says, okay, who are the beneficiaries that were named? And that is where those dollars get spread out. I'll tell you an interesting story. We had a client who was single. She had no children. She had an IRA of about $600,000, and she had given pointed most of that to charity. She had about $10,000 in her checkbook, and that was about it. And we found out after the fact that she had written a will a couple of years prior to her death that named a slew of people, each who were going to receive $2,500 apiece. Some of these people consisted of her favorite waiter at a local restaurant, someone that was nice to her at church, just $2,500 to all of these people. And it probably totaled maybe $150,000 in $2,500 checks. Do you realize nobody got them? Nobody got that money. Because what was left to probate? The $600,000 that she had in her IRA went to a charity. She named charities, I should say. That was gone, so it never went through the probate process. She had $10,000 to her name, yet in her will it said, I want $2,500 to go to each of these people. And so what did the executor decide to do? Didn't give $2,500 to anybody. Instead, looked at the number of people, divided the number of people by the $10,000 and wrote small checks to every single one of them. Now, that's not what the deceased would have wanted, wasn't expecting, but what did the executor do the right thing? I think she did. I mean, what else was she supposed to do? She created a lot more work for herself, and she probably could have charged herself a fee to do that work, but she chose not to. But that's what she chose to do. Folks, you got to understand, you need to have a will. It's important to be able to have that will to pick up the balance of what needs to be cleaned up. But you also want to make sure that your beneficiary designations, your trustees, and all that stuff is placed in order. And if you're unsure whether you need a trust or not, you might want to talk to a financial advisor first, because they're more likely to tell you whether you need one or not, rather than go to an attorney who will certainly tell you that you need one. They'll tell you all the reasons why you need one. Sometimes I find that too many attorneys are, and sometimes trusts are absolutely appropriate, absolutely appropriate. But I have found that many of them are way more complicated than they need be. But here's a few other things that you don't normally think about. Well, one, how many of you have a PayPal account? Who knows your username and password? If you die, where do you think that money goes? Poof, it goes away. You got an iTunes account? You buy all this music? The music costs you money, right? It's all online in some digital account. Who knows your iTunes password? Nobody? Poof, that goes away too. All of those things people need to know. You have any online banking accounts. You have a Facebook account. Who's going to notify people on Facebook that you died? Now, Facebook has the ability for you to set up an account that changes your account to show that you've passed away. But someone's got to get into your Facebook account, right? How do they know how to get in there? Do you have a safe deposit box? If you do, who knows where the key is? If you're the only one that knows where the key is, what good is that? Have you written down a list of people who are important advisors to you? Maybe it's your attorney. Maybe it's your financial planner. Maybe it's an insurance agent. Maybe it's a doctor. Where are those lists? Where are those numbers? Do you take certain medications? Do you know where the healthcare proxy is? The power of attorney is? Who knows all that stuff? Lots of unanswered questions. Folks, a robo-advisor doesn't answer that for you. I assure you of that. You need to find a financial planner, a certified financial planner at that. If you'd like to work with us, I'd love to talk with you, but I'm here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you financial advice in a language you can understand, and I'll be back again next Sunday. I hope you have a great day. Enjoy this school vacation week. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm with Friedman Financial, and I will see you next Sunday.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.